Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Well, welcome again to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age. I'm your host, Roy Richards. Today, we move on to the fourth of six midlife renewal challenges for the new year. And today we're going to talk about perhaps the most perplexing of all the midlife challenges, and that's relationships. You know, if you're like me, you probably have encountered this more than once in recent years. You can't live with them, and you can't live without them. And I'm talking about other people in your lives, your spouse, your teenage sons and daughters, your aging parents, your friends and neighbors, some of which you are really close to and others of which you can't stand, those at your church, the club, PTA, your boss, co-workers, and those who report to you. Of course, we've talked about work some in the past few programs, so we're not going to talk too much about that today. But people are all around us, and to really have a fulfilling life within ourselves, we have to get along with other people and deal with other people to further our own agendas and to help others. It's April, so I trust by now you've launched your journey to a joyful and productive second half of life on your own terms. You've had three whole months now to start with those New Year's resolutions and to get going, and I hope by now you're beginning to feel better about yourself. But guess what? You're only half done. Your remaining and most important steps are first to convince others that you have changed, and hopefully they know that you're a more positive individual now and that you have a brighter anticipation of the future than you did before. But better yet, why not bring others along to share in your positive outlook on life and to anticipate a brighter tomorrow. And no one, as you know and I know, no one can sustain happiness by concentrating solely on oneself. No matter how much we seek self-betterment and self-improvement, we're never going to really get there unless the people around us are also positive and respond positively to us. I'm sure you've experienced situations like this. You go out on a walk on a beautiful spring day, and you're all committed to some project or some new adventure that you're about to undertake, or perhaps you listen to an inspirational CD either while you're driving to work or as you're coming home from work. And then you walk in the door, either at work, and your boss says, what happened to that project that was due last week? Or he may have the project, and he's critical of some of the conclusions you reached and some of the things you left out. Or perhaps you walk in the door at home, and your spouse is in a very bad mood and complains that she's had a rotten day, and she starts hitting you on all those home improvement projects you were supposed to do over last weekend. Or she then hits you with some discipline problem she's having with son Jason or daughter Sue and starts berating you that you're not supporting her and making them behave. And then you run into Jason or Sue and they brush you off surly and you say, how about a golf this weekend, Jason? And he says, no, I've got something to do with my buddies this weekend. I can't do that. And obviously has no interest in sharing anything with the old man, and your daughter Sue has about the same interest. Well, if you haven't discovered this for yourself, I've got some good news for you. The first piece of good news is that you better understand yourself and what's put you in a bad mood. You'll better understand the negative behavior in others, and you'll also start better understanding solutions to help the others out of their negative attitudes. The second piece of good news, it takes two to argue, and if you're uniformly positive and you refuse to respond to negative comments with your own negative comments and get into an argument, then over time your significant others will perhaps certainly, without doubt, will become more positive around you, because it always takes two to argue, and no one wants to argue with somebody that always maintains a positive outlook on life. And the third positive piece of good news is you'll learn to examine the roles you play and will condition yourself to assume the right role for the position you're in. Just as an example, you'll no longer be the stern taskmaster you were to an 8-year-old. You'll be the coach and good buddy of your teenage son or daughter, and yet you'll be a positive influence in their life as they move on to, toward their adulthood. And there are several other suggestions in a whole chapter we have on improving midlife relationships in my book, A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up. And I hope you'll preview that either at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or on our website, www.middleagerenewal.com. But over in the next several programs, we're going to speak with experts on the most common middle age relationship challenges. One will be how to restore passion and a true 50-50 loving partnership in your marriage that perhaps has grown stale. That's such a common occurrence when you've been married a number of years. A second will be how to inspire and positively guide your teenage son or daughter as they progress from cuddly little children they once were into the turnoffs that teenagers often are, communicating on their cell phones rather than talking to you. Third will be how to counsel and assist your aging parents as they face the often traumatic senior years and end-of-life decisions, and they may have financial challenges. We'll talk about those, too. And finally, we'll touch on work and relationships in your neighborhood and with friends and your social clubs and all those types of things that are common to everybody at middle age. But before we get into specifics on today's program, we're going to talk about relationships in general, and we'll speak to anyone, and that I'm sure includes you and I, that have at least one less than fully satisfying relationship in our day-to-day routines. And the problem, as you'll be surprised to, maybe not so surprised, the problem often is you and me, not the other person. And we'll get into it after this. Well, before I introduce our first guest today, ask yourself two questions. The first one, at middle age, am I satisfied with my closest personal relationship? If you're married with your spouse or life partner, at work with your boss, co-workers, and those who report to you, as a parent with your teenage son or daughter, when you're with this other person or these people, do you most often feel comfort, warmth, and mutual love and respect? Well, maybe not love with your boss and co-workers, but at least a lot of respect. And how about your daily interactions with casual acquaintances or someone you just met in social situations like at a cocktail party? If you're single and you're out on a date with someone new with high potential, on a job interview for a highly promising position, or just standing in a bus stop when a friendly stranger strikes up a conversation. Certainly, or generally, are you at ease and comfortable in your own skin, or do you just wish you could be alone? Similarly, while midlife relationships can be a blessing or a curse, as human beings, obviously, you and I need and crave interactions with fellow humans. On the other hand, interactions make us with others makes life so much more complicated and scary, doesn't it? Like me, relationships with others may be your stumbling block to success and happiness, and that was my case for years. I had a great idea in my mind, but I was not very good at selling myself or my ideas to others. And if you're like me, fear of what others may think of me often has held you back. At middle age, are you comfortable and fulfilled in your relationships with others? Well, today's guest says that what's standing between you and fulfilling relationships could be you. Our guest is Dr. Michael Broder, Ph.D. He's a renowned psychologist, executive coach, a best-selling author, speaker, and he's a former radio host. And he's been on numerous national TV shows, including Oprah and The Today Show. And what most impresses me, in his late 20s, Dr. Broder had the courage to do something that I didn't have the courage to do. He was a successful accountant, but that's no longer what he wanted to do with his life. And he went back to grad school and got a master's and PhD and became a successful psychologist because that's what he wanted to do. In contrast, I discovered in my late 20s that I really didn't want to be in corporate finance, but I hung around for another 30 years, and I didn't really wake up to life until I was in my 50s. But the bottom line is you and I are as old as we are today and what we are today, but it's up to each one of us to define who we're going to be tomorrow and where we're going to go from here. Dr. Broder, we're honored to have you on Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age. Welcome.
Roy, it's an honor to be with you.
Well, I suspect, like a lot of listeners, initiating, building, and keeping fulfilling relationships has always been a challenge for me. At middle age, how do you overcome the obstacle of negative thinking that, well, it's always been this way, and it's too late and now to try anything or to really change?
Well, first of all, I mean, that's a very faulty assumption. And, you know, our beliefs are the things that really govern us more than anything else. You and I are old enough to remember when they were comparing computers to the mind. Now we compare the mind to computers, okay? And if the mind was a computer, the operating system is our belief system, okay? And that's true. I mean, there's only one difference between a Buddhist monk and an Al-Qaeda terrorist. Okay, and that is their belief system.
Yeah.
One believes that peace comes through jihad. The other believes that peace comes through sitting in a room and meditating.
Yeah.
I like the latter.
Yeah.
But the good news is that we now know how to change those beliefs, and we know how to pick attitudes that will serve us. So that our mind becomes a tool that we use, not something that rules us, that masters us, and that's a very important assumption that I talk about in stage climbing, because what you said. Was a very common assumption that, well, it's kind of too late. You're kind of stuck with these ideas, and you're really not. So what I hope to discuss with you and get your audience really revved up about is the fact that there are alternatives to any of these beliefs that you have that limit you.
Yeah, that's the whole premise of our program and what we're trying to get people to consider. But it sounds great, but how do I make myself relationship ready, as you call it? I mean, how would I even go about changing that attitude that has held me back for years that, I'm not really good in social situations and people don't think I'm worth listening to or whatever, maybe holding me back?
That's a belief that is almost like putting yourself down to the degree where you get into your own way, and we all have beliefs like that. In stage climbing, I call them hooks, and they're hooks really to eras of our lives where we're quite natural and normal to think that way. So for example, many people, whether you're middle-aged or not, approach dating the way adolescents do, because that's when we first started to date. That's when we first started to date normally in adolescence, and adolescence is a time when we start becoming unique, and we're very self-conscious about about ourselves, and as a result, we're constantly seeking approval,
yeah.
And that's a that's a premise that very much holds us back. You know, by realizing that there are people out there who are going to love you and like you and approve of you, and there are people out there who are not going to like you.
Yeah, and you don't have to appeal to every other human being on the planet, for sure.
That's right. It's the I forget who it was that said it was the guy who invented the ignition back in the 1920s, you know, around the time before that, you used to have to crank the car up to get it started. I can't remember his name right now, but he had one of the greatest quotes of all time, where he was asked at an address he was giving. He was asked, "What's your secret for success?" Or what's the secret for success? And he said, because he was one of the most successful people around at the time, and he said, I don't know what the secret for success is, but I can tell you the surefire secret for failure, and that is try to please everyone.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's a matter of understanding that this is what you're doing, and then making a commitment to challenge that belief whenever it comes up. And I've worked with people in their 80s and 90s who had been out of the dating scene for one person for 70 years and was still walking around with those beliefs about dating.
Yeah.
And if he was able to change, then my hypothesis that it's never too late to change is confirmed, because that's kind of late in the day with conventional wisdom to change longstanding beliefs, but it's still very possible.
You're basically saying you better know and respect and actually love yourself before you go out looking for someone else to love, because it doesn't work very well if you go out with just, have someone else define who I am and tell me whether I'm worth it or not.
Well, that's true. And it's not so much a matter of loving yourself, because love, something that we've come to find out, there's been actually a lot of research on this, and that is that all love is conditional.
Yeah.
And so if love is conditional, you're going to love yourself when you're performing well and things are going well,
yeah.
and then you're going to continue to rate yourself, but only on a negative basis when things go in the other direction.
Okay, yeah.
So what we teach people now is accept themselves, kind of in a dispassionate way, because we are all one collection of traits, behaviors, strengths, weaknesses. Some of them are really good and really serve us. Others don't serve us as well. I mean, this is the definition of a human being.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult to really put any label on all of those things. Instead, what is the most important way to go is to just say, okay, I accept myself with my strengths, with my weaknesses, and so forth, and then set out to change the things that you want to change.
Yeah.
And then you have risen above your mind. Your mind then becomes a tool that serves you.
Yourself. And like you say, you need to understand your weaknesses as well as your strengths. And You talked briefly about stage climbing, and I know that's the title of your new book. Tell us a little bit about what stage climbing is and how that would apply at middle age.
Okay, well, stage climbing, the book is called Stage Climbing, The Shortest Path to Your Highest Potential. By the way, for your listeners, If they go to stageclimbing.com, you can order it through there. You can order it through Amazon, and it's actually available everywhere now. But if your bookstore is out of it, you can get it from Amazon. And it's a totally new approach that can help a person to define his or her potential by what they are by what's most unique about them. So we teach people how to really tap that inside inner resource called passion.
Yeah.
We all know what that is.
Yeah.
But passion is something that can apply to virtually any area of your life. I mean, without exception. Passion is an incredibly strong tool that we all have within us. The problem is that we get it so covered over by the parts of our lives that we accumulate, many of which don't work.
Yeah.
And what stage climbing does is teach people how to remove what we call hooks of the lower stages that will then free you to organically go to that part of you which is defined by your passion.
Yeah,
and if you're using the system,
like an anchor, actually, it's anchoring you to a lower stage.
Yeah, yes, that's true. And by the way, you can apply this particular technique to any part of your life.
Yeah.
To relationships, to your career. You had mentioned a little bit earlier about the big career change that I made in my 20s.
Yeah.
I actually had my own accounting firm and was making a ton of money in my 20s. And once I got to this particular point where I really exceeded my 5-year plan in just about a year. And once I kind of got there, I looked ahead and I said, am I going to be doing this for the rest of my life? It's a long story how I got into accounting, but I was there, and the part of me, that passionate part of me, was not allowing me to settle down into what I call a comfortable state of discomfort.
Yeah.
And so I made the change. And by the way, my career has been about helping people to find that zone within themselves, whether it be about relationships, the kind of relationship that's not just going to be a warm body, but somebody where you're going to feel the passion and all the good stuff that you want a relationship to be, where you're going to feel best about yourself when you're with that other person.
Yeah, that's the key. You want somebody that you're not only comfortable with, but you just feel good and you feel passion, not just romantic passion, but just passion for living, I would think. You know.
Well, and feeling best about yourself. People very often get into bad relationships.
Yeah.
And the sad part about that is that it kind of overshadows all of the other stuff that they could be doing. It really blocks them in so many different ways. The relationship that you want is one that where you can really tap into that zone, which I call your highest potential.
Yeah.
And I'll say one thing that is really a good prerequisite for it. Once you are happy with yourself, once you are able to accept yourself not being in a relationship, you'll never get into a bad one. Okay?
Interesting thought, yeah. People that are desperate for a relationship often get into bad ones simply because they want to be in a relationship. I know that applies to me, because I've done that in the past.
Well, we all have at one point in our lives, and then we kind of learn. But if you're wanting to get into a relationship, you're basically wanting someone to want to be with you, and that's a pretty tall order to request somebody to do if you're not willing to be with yourself.
Yeah, that's very true. You don't want to be with yourself. No one else is going to want to be with you, really.
So that's the part of this particular approach called stage climbing that applies to relationships. And once we clear away the rubble, and in the book I give you numerous strategies to do it. And by the way, I'm in the process of putting together an online course, which by request, a lot of people are going to be interested in that. So when you go to stage climbing, if you opt in and give us your mailing your email address, I will see to it that you get information about when this online course will begin. But it's a course that's going to help you to apply these tools and save you years of therapy, because it's that straightforward an approach.
Yeah, we don't have a whole lot of time left, but let me mention a few like middle age type situations where someone feels stuck, and how they would go about addressing these. Say I'm in a distressed or crumbling marriage where my spouse and I argue over every little thing, and maybe we still love each other, but we don't like each other anymore. It doesn't seem like we disagree on children, on finances, on careers, on everything else. How could I strengthen that, or perhaps save it, or decide where to move from here?
Well, it's interesting. I actually had another book on that called Can Your Relationship Be Saved? But let me give you the short answer to your question there, because many people are in that situation. And when you are, something that is very important to do is to examine your expectations. What expectations do you have on the relationship, and how can that relationship meet them? Can the relationship meet them?
Yeah.
That's the question that you really have to ask. Sometimes by lowering the expectations, you wind up with a happy marriage. In other situations, you can't lower them enough, and that's when there's a good argument for moving on. But the expectations there are the key, because when there's a constant conflict going on, and the tools are not in place to resolve conflict, and resolving conflict, by the way, is the number one predictor of whether a relationship lasts, or at least lasts and serves the people in it. That is what makes this all work. And the two of you need to sit down and really look at your expectations of each other and what is possible
here.
You
look at your partner's expectations too, and how well you meet them, and how whether you want to meet them.
Some people are married for years and years and still expect the dopamine high that you get when you first met, and that's very unrealistic. And again, that comes down to the expectations. By the way, expectations are nothing more than another set of beliefs.
Yeah, that's very true. Well, how about my teenage son or daughter that never has time for mom and me and, you know, is always belligerent and really only warms up when they want money or keys to the car? What's the best way to break in there?
Well, sometimes it's a matter of being less intrusive, believe it or not. And the ideal situation that you want with that you want to have with an adolescent, and that's something that I talk about in stage climbing also, which is a parenting tool. But what the best thing that you really want them to do is to be able to go out and really explore their uniqueness. You want to set certain limits.
Yeah,
but make sure that they know they can come back to you when they have an issue they can't handle themselves.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they're going to find some random resource that may be very good outside, but also may be very bad. At the worst, you fall in with the wrong people and get into drugs and things like that.
Yeah,
at
true.
Best. You're able to come back and connect with your parents, but understand that part of growing up is really allowing them within those limits you set to make their own mistakes.
Yeah, very definitely. You have some definite ground rules to protect their safety and you know, make sure they don't do criminal activities and all those kind of things. Your daughter doesn't get pregnant, you know, hopefully.
Exactly.
But, on the other hand, you have to let them, you can't keep treating them like 10-year-olds when they're 15.
No, and many, many parents don't do that. The key to good parenting is to parent at the stage that your child is.
Yeah, that's exactly what I say in my book as well. That, you need to respect your children at the age they're at and give them the discretion, but like you say, always give them the opportunity to come back when they need advice. You're kind of like the coach instead of the hands-on, you know, daily supervisor that you used.
That's right. That's right.
Well, let's say I like my job and my career, but I can't get along with my boss. He or she is way too demanding, in my opinion, and doesn't cut me any slack and always nitpicks and criticizes. How can I improve that relationship? I don't want to quit my job, but I'm miserable at work and all stressed out because of it.
Well, it's also if you're not going to leave the job, it's also a matter of adjusting the expectations.
Yeah.
Because you know, the boss has the upper hand.
Yeah.
And
always good to remember.
It's great to have a boss who's open to change, but not everybody has that.
No, that's true. I know I always tell people to seek change around the margins without at all appearing threatening to the boss or asserting that I'm smarter than you are or anything like that. But, you know, if you have the right mental attitude and are always positive around work and become an energy charger instead of a drainer, I think over time you may be able to transform your relationship to some degree, but if your expectations are beyond what you're getting out, you may have to at some point quit and go elsewhere.
No, that's exactly right. And by the way, that it's like any other relationship. You know, we try to save relationships, but some of them can't be saved or shouldn't be saved, and that's a relationship that's that way too. And incidentally, the one thing that your audience should know that is probably the biggest killer of a fulfilling life is the fear of change.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah.
Okay, and as a result, when you're fearing change, you find yourself constantly trying to fit a square peg in a round hole,
and that
could be the situation in work or in a love relationship.
Yeah, that gets harder to do in the modern society with information flowing constantly all over the place on the internet and you know, communication with your cell phones and smartphones and all this other stuff. It's pretty tough to avoid change these days.
Yep.
Well, let's use one more example. Say I'm in my 40s, 50s, and I'm single, widowed or divorced, never married. I'm seeking a serious relationship, and I go out on dates, and they always seem promising, but we always seem to break up after the first date, two dates anyway, and usually the other person spurns me. What's wrong with me?
Well, you know, maybe nothing. Maybe nothing. Getting into a new relationship is really about meeting numbers of people.
Yeah.
And to the degree that you really want exactly what it is you want in a relationship, you want all the traits and so on and so forth, and you're not showing the kind of interest in the person, or if you're showing too much interest in the person, you know, these could be issues. Something that is important to do is to really look at what it is you want.
Yeah.
What is it you want in a relationship? And you know, are you looking for something long term? You're looking for companionship. You're looking for something that's going to really deliver passionate sex. I mean, these are sometimes not all possible in one person.
No, not in all one night either.
No, exactly. You have the right to be exactly who you are when you meet someone. And
amen.
And if you're not going to, you know, if that's not going to resonate with a particular person you're with, you know, that's kind of the way it goes. Don't feel badly about yourself. Just understand that it takes meeting a lot of people nowadays before you're going to find someone that is going to give you exactly what you want.
That's exactly right. And always remember that you need to be concerned about what that other person is looking for, too, and that recognize that you may not fit the bill, and that doesn't mean anything is taken away from you. It just means that you don't fit that well.
If after one or two dates someone isn't interested in you, chances are it's not personal.
No.
You know, chances are it's about who they are, what they want. On the other hand, if that keeps happening over and over and over again, and I have worked with many people where that's the case, then you got to find out what's the pattern here.
Yeah.
Why is that? And
yeah.
Sometimes you can zero in and find, again, what I call in stage climbing, the hook, and remove that hook, and then your relationship ready. But it's unique for everyone, and what I want to do is give your listeners the tools to find those inner resources, because
yeah.
that's the key to having exactly what you want in this life.
Yeah, and the final stages in your book, I know, are having passion about what you're doing, and also the final stage is really being concerned, going outside yourself and really relating to others and serving others. And I think that's
right. Being beyond your own self-gratification and going for benevolence, and we all have that in us, and that's what keeps the world going, but we really have to get the rubble out of the way so that we can naturally and organically get there, because we're designed to get there. It's the stuff we put in our own way that prevent us.
And get the rubble out of the way, and then once you really feel good about yourself, you're naturally going to want to serve others. It just sort of, in my opinion, ties together, because I cannot, no matter how good I may feel about myself, it's not going to last very long unless I bring those around me along and they start serving them and making sure they feel good about themselves as much as I feel good about myself.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
That's
very well said.
And we certainly appreciate you taking time to be on the show today. And once again, what's the website people can go to find out more about your book or preview it?
Well, you can go to stageclimbing.com,
okay.
And at stageclimbing.com, you can get a lot of information about the book. I have a little guide where you can kind of download to see what stage you're operating at a different areas of your life. In the book, we have resources and more strategies, and you'll have time to apply. And then on the website, for those who buy the book, you get a password, and we have all kinds of other resources to help you with what I call your stage climb.
Yeah, that's great. I think I'm moving out of my infancy stage. I'm up at least I'm afraid I'm probably still stuck a little bit in the juggling stage. The role juggler, that's stage five, I believe, which
that's right.
is so common at middle age when we're trying to earn a living and raise our teenagers and keep our marriage passionate and all these other things we're trying to
do. And what we want to do is get you to rise above those roles, and then you're living the exact life you want to be living.
Yeah, that's the goal for all of us, and I certainly appreciate you taking time today, Dr. Broder. And
my pleasure to be with you, Roy.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Well, continuing on our series on websites of interest to our midlife congregation, here's a site specifically for you ladies. Now, gentlemen, you don't have to tune us out. Listen in and you may learn more about what's most important to the women in your life. Our website of the week is called www.fabulousafter40.com, a fashion and beauty global style hub and social media community dedicated to empowering women 40, 50, and beyond to look stylish and feel fabulous. There's nothing wrong with that mission, is there, guys? This
Absolutely.
Site has over 60,000 unique visitors a month and over 21,000 members, and our guests today are co-founders Deborah Boland and JoJemmy Tyler. They're known affectionately as the Glam Girls. And hello, ladies, and welcome to our program.
Well, hi, Roy. Thanks for having us.
Hi, Roy. Great to be here.
Well, your website's loaded with helpful information. Please summarize the type of helpful advice that you offer on your website.
Well, as you said, we're a fashion website for women 40, 50, 60, and beyond. And the whole site started because JoJemmy and I were really frustrated. You know, we've always loved fashion, but after we got into our 40s, it became a bit of a drag because we found that there was hardly any clothing out there for women over 40 that was fitting our changing bodies. You know, we were gaining weight and getting a little rounder and so forth. There were no role models out there, and we were really, really frustrated, and we found, you know, we were starting to give up, and we thought, we don't want to give up and be frumpy. We just need to tweak our chic. So we thought, let's take that message to other women out there that are struggling, and let's help them dress, look, and feel fabulous after 40.
Yeah, you know, there's so much more to women at age 40, 50, and beyond than just the appearance. But if you don't feel good about how you look in your clothes, it really detracts from your confidence and your ability to succeed in other things. So I think
Deb and I have really found that when you do feel confident in what you have on, clothing, the color of the clothing, the style of the clothing, the comfort of the clothing, it actually gives you energy. And don't we all need a little more energy as we age? And that's another message that we like to share. We have so much on our website for women over 40. It's a real wonderful community of women. We have a Facebook page. We have people comment. We write blog posts every day that give fashion tips. And the women come and they comment and they help each other, and people post pictures of themselves, and it's just really more of a community for us to come to as a resource. If you have a fashion question, you can write it in, and we'll answer it.
I know you have a weekly email newsletter also, and some solo broadcasts. I don't know what those are exactly.
Well, we have some podcasts, some recordings we've done with experts in different areas of fashion. We have some e-books that we sell. But everybody can come and visit the site and get our free fashion guide, and that's called 5 Massive Fashion Mistakes That Make You Look Too Old or Too Young, and How to Get It Just Right. Just come to our website, visit, and it's a free guide for you to get you going, to help you start feeling fabulous after 40.
Yeah, that sounds great. They're also, how does someone join in your website? I know you said you had 21,000 members.
Right. Well,
right. Well,
they just sign up for the special report.
Yeah, if you go to www.fabulousafter40, and that's the number 40.com,
yeah.
On the upper right-hand corner, there's a yellow box, and it has a picture of these two little ladies sitting at a table. And that's the spot where you click to sign up for our newsletter and get that free report that so many people have found helpful. And then we'll start sending you a weekly newsletter. And in that newsletter is where all those wonderful tips come. We have contests. Right now we have two contests that you can sign up for on our site where you could win up to $500 or $1,000 prize.
Wow.
So it's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun over there.
It's a very positive community. I just want to say that we're not the fashion police. You know, you can wear whatever you like to wear, but if you're feeling frustrated, then come join our community, because all the women in our community and ourselves, we're just really positive, and we want women to, if they've always had a passion for fashion, we don't want them to lose that passion for fashion, because then you lose that passion for life. And when you look good, you feel good, and life is so much more fun.
Yeah, I noticed
life is too short to be frumpy.
Yeah, I noticed you said that on your website. You have like 29 different categories of articles, too, for people. Anything from, menopause to being a model after 40 and all these other interesting subjects. So if your listeners or our viewers of the website want to learn something, they can certainly look up those articles.
Yeah, and how to dress your body type, that's a big one as well, because after 40, you know, we're all getting a little rounder, a little softer, and it's frustrating, you know, to find clothes, but you can look fabulous in your clothes, it's all an illusion, you know, just the way you dress, the things you put on can really make or break your look and make you look great.
Now, I know you offer a lot of freebies, but you also have some very interesting products on your website. Tell us a little about your e-books and this link to myprivatestylist.com, I noticed, and there's a magazine you have. But tell us about those.
Well, the e-books we have are How to Jumpstart Your Style, which is a wonderful e-book. That's one we sort of recommend women start with, because it just gives you that checklist of, you know, what's in that closet that you need, you know, what do you need to have, what are the pieces that you need to really get yourself back on that style track. So many women fall off the style track. We have Tweak Your Chic, How to Look Beautiful in Color. Deborah, we have Mother of the Bride, How to Dress the Mother of the Bride. That's a very popular one.
Yeah.
And then we have one on budget dressing called Chic on the Cheap, because everyone wants to look good, but they don't want to blow a bundle doing it. So those are our
e-books. I'll get that one to my wife.
Yeah, you'll have to get that one for her. Not you, Valentine's present.
And then My Personal Stylist, that is a cool tool that we sell on the site that's not actually our tool. It's a tool that we're an affiliate for, but it's a fabulous tool. Our ladies love it. And what you do is you can input all of your measurements from head to toe, detailed measurements, and then this computerized program will spew out all the styles that you should be wearing for your body type that are going to make you look slim, trim, and 10 pounds lighter. And it details pictures and examples of the types of things that you should wear. So it's really a big, big help our ladies find.
I wonder what would happen if I put my measurements in there.
Actually, they do have one for men. I think that's coming out soon. So.
Get rid of that beer gut. What about your magazine? I don't know, 15 issues for less than $20 in the advertisement.
Oh, that's, we've been work with InStyle magazine as an InStyle ambassador, because there's a lot of magazines out there for women, and it doesn't seem like there's too many of them that really help with over 40 problems. But of all the magazines out there, InStyle is one of the actually better ones. People don't really realize that they seem to market it to the younger crowd. But there's a lot of things in that magazine that are appropriate for women over 40, and so we are out there trying to promote that as well.
I see. Well, all I can say is that website is really loaded with helpful advice, and it just really covers the gamut of style. And like I said before, and like these ladies emphasize, just because you turn 40 doesn't mean you should put the style book away and not care anymore, because there are some very attractive ladies in their 50s and 60s and whatever age. And the main thing is you feel good about the age you are now, and you're confident in your own appearance. And that really helps in everything else. And what's that website address again, so that people can go and find your website and check it out.
It's www.fabulousafter40, and that's 40, fabulousafter40.com.
And I would highly recommend that to all the ladies in their audience, or the men may want to check that out and get their wives or their girlfriends or whatever involved in that. And in all seriousness, every one of us, male or female, needs to approach the world confident in who we are today and what we look like. And this is certainly a big step for all you ladies out there to step forward and look at the style and appropriateness of dress and all
that. Right. You know, Roy, you know, one of the things you're mentioning, you're so right about after 40, you know, a lot of times our lifestyle starts changing. Some of us change jobs. Some of us had children early, and all of a sudden we have a more casual lifestyle, or opposite. Maybe we're getting back into the workforce.
Yeah.
We have tips for all types of lifestyles and activities. And like you were saying, you could research. We have career dressing ideas. We have a lot of casual dressing ideas and, you know, formal affair dressing ideas. There's so many different activities out there that we want to look appropriate for. And where do you go to get inspiration? Well, you can go right to fabulousafter40.com. There we have lots of actual examples of things that you can buy right now, how to put together different colors, outfits, and styles, and all these types of things out there that can be so overwhelming when you go shopping. We help make your shopping and your ideas. We give you some fresh inspiration for all these things to get your wardrobe looking more updated.
Well, I would highly recommend that website, and thank you so much, ladies, for joining us today. And I'm sure that a lot of our female listeners will want to check out your website, www.fabulousafter40.com. And tune in again next week, and we'll talk about jump-starting your small business or your career. And thank you so much again for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.